I don't promise that, but I'll try, okay, to slow it down a little bit. And I'm going to have you probably turn to more scripture. Write them down if you have a hard time going to them or whatever it is. But let me tell you something. You know, just let me talk, okay? Just let me talk. You need a Bible. You need a Bible, all right? Or at least I know some of you might be on your phones. Okay, that's all right. You know, but you need a Bible. You need a notebook, okay? You need a notebook where you can write things down. Write scriptures down. Write notes down. I have a notebook I carry with me everywhere I go. And then when I have God talking to me and he's telling me things, I put down what he's saying to me. He also leads me to pray in certain ways. He opens my mind, my thinking up into things I wasn't thinking about and I weren't entertaining in any way. You know, it's called the leadership of the Holy Spirit. And that's where your victory is found. It's not found by you walking in your own heart, walking in your own mind, serving God in your own way. It's being led by the Spirit of the living God. All right? And he will lead you. He will lead you. Expect him to lead you. Okay? Expect him to lead you. And he will lead you. And you'll come into a vein. You'll come into a vein of flowing in the Holy Spirit that you maybe never had before. Or it will be a more pure vein than what you have ever known before. And it will be a vein that will lead you up to higher ground than you've ever been led into in your walk or in your life. I want to tell you right now, I don't care how old you are. I don't care how many years you've known Jesus or how many years that you have been saved or whatever it would be. I want you to know that the Lord has something fresh and something new for you continually. He's not done with you until you take your last breath in your body and you go on to eternity and be with the Lord. Hallelujah. But until that day comes, you've been called to be the servant of the Lord. You are the servant of the Lord. And I can tell you that the Holy Spirit, he wants to cause your understanding to grow more and more and more as to what it means to be the servant of the Lord. And that being that servant of the Lord, it's not generic. It's not generic. You know, we all follow in the same path of a Jude calls it a common salvation. It's a common salvation. You know, God, we've been called into the same salvation of the Lord, but we serve God in a vast and different ways. And we need every single one of you. Well, we're going to find out here about that as we go on here. I want you to look with me in Romans again. Here we're on part 3 of the power of God. The power of God, and this is in Romans chapter 1. Chapter 1, and I'm going to read again. And it says right here in verse 16. It says, "For I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God." The power of God. When you experience the salvation of Almighty God, the power of God comes into your life. This is not mind over matter. This is a matter. This is not a matter of being having new thoughts and taking on a new agenda. This is not reformed. It's not reformed. You know, that all has to do with your intellect and with your mind and not transforming or changing of your heart. This is what the power of God does. The power of God comes into your life. And when the power of God comes in, he brings transformation. He brings transformation. And the first work of being transformed by the power of God is being born again by the Spirit of God. Being born again. If you have not been born again by the Spirit of God, then you cannot enter into the kingdom of God. I don't care how much you know about God or how much you've learned. It doesn't matter how long you've been in church. You know, I tell you what, some of the situations of being churched so much, you become so familiar, you get the lingo down, you get the answers down, you know, you get the doctrine down, but you haven't had a heart change. And if you haven't had a heart change, you're not in the kingdom. There are going to be many of people that are going to lift up their eyes in hell. And they're going to go, "Who? What? What? Huh? Who? What? What am I doing here? What am I doing here?" You can bank on it. because they're church people, not Jesus people. They're church people. Oh, I praise God for church and the fellowship of the saints, but we're not a club. We're not a club. It's not about being a club. Want to be on the club? Go join the Elks Club, whatever it is. You know, Longfellows, I hear they do a lot of good things. And it's a lot of times that's what the church has come down to. It's come down to just the people that gather together and do good things and good works. Well, it's not about doing good things and doing good works. It's about serving the Lord. It's about walking in the kingdom of God. It's about the power of God. It's about winning souls for Jesus so that we can take to the heaven as many people as we possibly can. That's who we want to be. Oh, the devil fights tooth and nails to make us something else, you know, to cause us to be branded in a different way. He brings that good, do gooder works into the church and people that have not been changed. They just take on an agenda that is being reformed, but it's got nothing to do with the salvation of Almighty God. They do not have the power of God. They do not have the presence of the Lord upon their life. They do not have an anointing of the Holy Spirit of God that when they talk to people that there's something happening that is flowing into their lives by the power of God, because you're being used as the vessel of Almighty God. God wants to use you. Let him use you. Oh, praise God, you're here. Praise God that the Lord uses you here in the way that he does. You know, God anoints for all types of different services in him. He anoints for all different types of services in him. That we serve the Lord, we're not serving man. That's something God got straight in my life a long time ago. What you do as unto the Lord. Now you think that there's pastors that abuse congregations? Yeah, there's pastors that abuse congregations, and there's congregations that abuse pastors. I've known a few of them. And there's many a pastor just lay down and quit. Man, it's not worth it. Man, I'll just take my family and I'll go do something else for a living. I'll live my own private life, and you know, and not everybody butting into my business always got an opinion about everything that goes on in my life and criticize. I'll just be done with that. I'm going back to private life. I'm going to go to work over here. Boy, life will be a whole lot easier. You know how many anointed men and called of men have done just exactly that? My son went to Bible school, you know. My oldest son, Aaron, went to Bible school. And I said, son, I sure am proud of you. I said, you want to be a pastor? Okay, praise God. Well, I'd never, ever, at all, ever try to talk any of my kids into being a pastor. Okay? But only if God called them. Only if God called them. I said, I'm just as proud as I could possibly be of you. But now listen, I want you to hear me when I say this. I said, what you do is only because God calls you to do it. And what you do will always be as unto the Lord. No matter what comes your way, it'll be as unto the Lord. I made sure that he understood it has nothing to do with responses of people or what other actions of people or any other thing. It's called serving God. You know, and that's with each and every single one of us, that we serve God. We're not serving man. We get disappointed in people's reactions. We get disappointed in people's responses. If you do anything in church or do anything for people, you have the opportunity to be disappointed. Okay? Right? You have the opportunity to be disappointed. And people are not going to respond always the way that you think that they ought to respond. You know? But you don't do it for them. You're not doing it for them. You're doing it as unto the Lord. I am the servant of the Lord. If no one gives thanks for anything that I've done or says, hey, that good job or this or that, I'm talking about all of us, you know, in any form or any fashion, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter because we're not doing it for man. We're not doing it for man. We're called the servants of the Lord. We open up our spirit and we open up our heart and we say, oh, Lord God, Lord, equip me. Let me be found in your word. Let me be found in your promises. Let me be found in that anointing of the Holy Spirit. Because I'll tell you, the Spirit of God wants you to serve him in the anointing. In the anointing. Not in the power of talents. And just even good-heartedness. Oh, praise God for everyone that has a big and good heart. Oh, praise God for that. That's wonderful. That's just a personal gift that God has given you. But the Lord brings an anointing upon us by the power of the Holy Spirit that we may be able to serve him faithfully, that we may be able to serve him with a full heart, that we may be able to serve him without being robbed by the reaction of others or the responses of people or any other thing, because we're the servant of the Lord and we'll do it with our whole heart. We'll do it with our whole heart. If it's four of us, we'll do it with a whole heart. If there's 1,000 of us, because it doesn't make any difference. It's because we're the servant of the Lord. You got to rise up and take hold of this kingdom that belongs to you in the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Spirit of God will begin to cause you to be found in a flow of anointing that he has designed especially for you to be able to serve the Lord. I would venture to say that there are no anointings of the Holy Spirit that you have not experienced yet that he wants to bring upon you. There's empowerments that come by the power of the Holy Spirit that he will deposit upon you. I pray that you will have a spirit of expectation before Almighty God that he's going to raise you higher and higher and higher and higher, and you're going to expect to be anointed more and more and more, and that you will be that witness that the Lord wants you to really be. To be that witness, to be that prayer warrior, to be that believer that walks with God, that stands in the gap. Oh, whoa, how we need those that'll stand in the gap, that'll stand in the gap, that'll be frontline warriors for the kingdom of God. Frontline warriors for the kingdom of God. I have released that at one point in time, I know, but frontline warriors in the kingdom of God. Oh, they take the brunt of it. They take the brunt of it because they put themselves out there. They put themselves out there in faith. They put themselves out there in service. They put themselves out there in prayer. They're the frontline warriors of Almighty God and in the kingdom of God. They take the brunt of it. They take the brunt of it. But God sustains them and strengthens them, and he gives them victories that only he could bring. That's why it says right here, it talks about the power of God. The power of God. And here it is again in verse 16, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it's the power of God. Look at this, for salvation to everyone who believes. And then let me just make that comment right here, that this power of God, that's the word dunamis, just like we find that, you know, you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you in Acts 1:8. It's the same Greek word. But here, the Holy Spirit is bringing about all of the fullness of the salvation of God into the life of the believer. It starts with the heart. I said some of this last week, but it starts with the heart. And that's what you become born again by the Spirit of God, the life of God. You know, a man that walks around that doesn't know the Lord is walking around in darkness. He walks in darkness. He has no vision of God. He has no light working within his spirit or within his heart. He operates out of his mind and out of his intellect. Even if he's a religious person, he does not have any experience with the Lord. You know, that's the one thing that happens when Jesus comes into your life. Oh, hallelujah. You experience him. You experience him. You may even have a hard time explaining about all of that, what you've experienced. But somehow, some way, you've come alive. And that's what the word even says. You come alive. That life of God, okay, comes. It's called Zoe. Z-O-E. Z-O-E. And it means the life of God. It means the God kind of life. Its root word is zeo. It's Z-A-O. And that root word, zeo, means, it's a verb, and it means living. It means living. You know, so all of a sudden, life has come. Life, you're alive, and here you are, but life has come. You know, and then here's what happens is that life begins to permeate and move into every realm of your being. You know, that's where the transforming power of spiritual maturity comes from. You know, there's a condemnation in the Word of God of believers that are babes that ought not be babes no more. There's a condemnation in the Word of God to those that they ought not be babes anymore. You cannot be a babe all your walk or all your life. To be honest, you're either going forward or you're going backward. One or the other. You're going forward or you're going backward. Now, you understand that what happened to them when they were delivered out of Egypt, and Egypt is a type of the world. Pharaoh was a type of the evil one. And then they had a three, isn't that amazing? If they would have went straight, they had a three-day journey to the promised land. Promised land's not heaven. Promised land's not heaven. The promised land is the entering into the fullness of the kingdom of Almighty God. Or otherwise, why is there giants in the land? Why are there giants? There's no giants in heaven. I guarantee you, there's no giants in heaven. So these are types and shadows for us. And they had a three-day journey if they would have done it. But they didn't do it. But they didn't do it. And where they were headed when they came to that place of entering into the fullness, entering into, you know, they were blessed. They had a fire by night, a cloud by day. They were being led by God. They had God bringing great miracles into their life. But the fullness was entering into the promised land. And where they came to, where they were to enter into the promised land was at Kadesh Barnea. At Kadesh Barnea. And the Hebrew word Kadesh means holiness. Holiness. Now, look, for example, as he tells us about this power of this salvation, he gives us a vision. He gives us a vision of where we're headed in the Lord. You come to Jesus, you had a born-again experience in your heart. Now the Spirit of God begins to take that life and it begins to permeate throughout your being. It begins to surface into your thoughts and into your mind. And then from your thoughts and your mind, it causes you to think differently than the way that you used to think in so many different ways. I think according to the promise of God, to the salvation of the Lord. And then the next thing that happens is that you find yourself enlightened. And there's a grace when you believe upon that enlightenment. And when you believe upon that enlightenment, that grace comes to your life and you find power. You find power. You find power to be different. You find power to be not the same person that you used to be. Things that you used to give no thought about, now you loathe them. You hate them. You know, you used to give no thought about doing it. You used to thought about nothing about saying it. You used to nothing about that activity, you know. And it has nothing to do. It has nothing to do with, well, okay, just tell me what's wrong with it. Well, if we're not, you know, talking about smoking, cussing, and chewing, everybody thinks that everything's okay. But it's not. It's not. Now, so you understand, when they came to Kadesh Barnea, when they came there and they were right there ready to enter into the promised land, and that word Kadesh means holiness. It means holiness. Look here to these called of God. Come back into this first chapter and look with me, if you would, right here. Come on down in this verse right here, verse 7. To all, well, let me read verse 6. Among whom you also are the called of Jesus Christ. And then he says in verse 7, to all who are beloved of God in Rome, called as saints. Now, you understand that you're called, you know, that's like I'm here, you're back there, and I say, hey, you come on up here. You know, there's a journey, right? Yet if you're back there, and I say, hey, I need you up here, I want you to come on up here, then you're going to have to walk. I think there's something said about that in the Bible, don't you? About a walk, right? That's not a metaphor. It's not a metaphor, you know, and it's not talking about walking down Main Street, right? You know, it's talking about walking in Jesus, is it not? You know, so what? There's an activity of movement. Am I right? There's an activity of movement. Now, and it's a spiritual movement that is taking place in your life, that we're called to walk with the Lord. And you're either going forward or you're going backwards. And if you're going backwards, you're called a backslider. It's not a good thing. The word saints right here is the word hagos. And it's the same word. It means saints. It means sacred, and it also means holy. It means holy. You know, so you understand what when you come into the salvation of the Lord, you know, that salvation is moving in your life. It's not exclusively. See, we do that in church. We do that with certain Christian doctrines, with certain church organizations. You know, you have a born-again experience. Boy, there you are. You got it. And we call being born again salvation. But the Bible teaches the word salvation is much broader than just simply whether you've been born again. Yes, that's part of the salvation of Almighty God. Is that the end of it? No, it is not. There is so much talked about all through the scriptures about the salvation of the Lord in body, in soul, and in spirit. That there's a salvation of God that come upon you. And you begin to have a transforming power. Now, you understand that this goes on all the days of our lives till we go on and be with Jesus. There's a spiritual maturity. There's a transformation that comes in our lives. We should have an expectation of going forward in God. Now, I want to show you something here. So let's go back here to verse 16, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it's the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes. I want you to know that the way that you go forward, the way you possess the kingdom of God, the way you possess this salvation of God is by believing upon the Lord. Now, this is very difficult for people, you know, because people want to bring all kinds of disciplines. Now, I'm not saying that there's not a place for disciplines in our lives at various times, but it's not about mind over matter. It's about being transformed. And it's God who does it. It's God who brings you into what you could never obtain to in any other way other than by the power of Almighty God. I want to read this to you. Just stay where you're at. I'm going to read you. You've heard it many times. This is in 1 John chapter 5, and it's in verse 4, and it says, "For whatever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith." Did you hear that? This is the victory that has overcome the world. The Spirit of God will give you overcoming power. I don't care what it is. You will overcome it. The power of God will come into your life, and He will remove it from you. What are you wrestling with? What are you wrestling with? What's afflicting you? What's afflicting you? What's dogging you? Huh? What's dogging you? What's chasing you? What are you wrestling with? I'm going to pray in a few minutes, and God's going to kill it. Do you hear me? God's going to kill it. He's going to kill it. And the reason He's going to kill it is because you're going to believe Him to kill it. You suffering afflictions that you don't want, that you don't like, things of even personality or whatever it would be, or actions or whatever it would be, thoughts. Now, I'm not saying all these things come easy. But this is part of the transforming power of Almighty God. Like, for example, I look for, would you turn with me real quick here? I want you to go, well, first of all, I'm going to read this. Let me read 17. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed, and we talked about this already, from faith to faith. As it is written, but the righteous man shall live by faith. Now I'm going over to Romans chapter 12. All of the promises of God, as you well know, according to the word, are yes and they are amen. They belong to you. Now, you understand that as God gave Israel commandment to go forward, God was with them and God gave them the victory, but they had to go forward, okay? They had to go forward. They had to receive the instructions that had been given them. And if they walked in it, then they would find the miraculous hand of Almighty God establishing them in everything that He had promised them. And so it is with you and I in the Lord Jesus Christ. You have your Jerichos. I have my Jericho. You know, such fortifications of things that they are even become paralyzing to us because we don't even know where to begin to overcome. And the evil one wants to put the burden of overcoming on you so that he can bring you into such disheartenment and discouragement that you give up so-called trying. And the only trying that you need is that you're going to stand steadfast in believing God, and you're going to wait upon the Lord, and you're going to have faith in your heart, and you're going to believe God to bring down the walls of Jericho that are before you. And that's when the power of God is released. Well, I mean, I've done this and I've tried hard. I'm sure that's right. And I've tried really difficult here and there. I've done everything that I know to do, but it doesn't change. I don't change. Whatever it would be, change doesn't come. But what God wants you and I to do is to release it into His hands, rest in Him, and simply believe upon Him. Because that's how you obtain the kingdom of God, is by believing upon the Lord. And then not only that, but you understand it's from faith to faith. The Spirit of God will give you greater measures of faith in your life. If you've got something that is so insurmountable, that it's so difficult for me to tackle because, I mean, I can't even envision those changes or transformations coming. I want you to know that it's the Spirit of God that brings you and I from faith into faith into faith. Faith deepens. Let me give you an example of this, as we know that the definition of faith, you know, is those things hoped for. Elpazo, which means expectation or anticipation. Now, if you're walking in faith, then you're walking in an expectancy of God, okay? It's not a concept, it's a practice. It's a practice of faith. I'm practicing faith because I am believing God, and I'm going to walk by faith. I have an expectation. I have anticipation in my heart. You know, and the best way for you to do that, you know, is take up the Word of God, find the promises of God, find out what the covenant says, and then begin to believe God and stand upon it. Because we find that the Word of the Lord says that all of the promises are yes and amen in Him. Don't go on the opinions of other people in any form or fashion, or what they think or what they feel, and stay away from those that all they want to do is talk negative and talk negative and have no faith whatsoever. They have no faith whatsoever. They don't believe God for anything. They don't even try to believe God for anything. That's not the kind of influences that you need in your life. Right? You're going to walk by faith and believe God, and God's going to bring you into whatever level that you of faith that you need so that you will overcome the insurmountable obstacle. It will be overcome. Matter of fact, you begin to give thanksgiving and give praise. We had a spirit of praise among us today, all right? And I'm going to release these things in just a minute. But that spirit of praise, all right? That spirit of praise. Some of you need to come out of your negativity. You need to come out of your negativity. All right? Okay, hold on, hold on, hold on. All I am is the messenger. Stop bellyaching about everything. Start praising God. Because then you understand those two things got to go together, right? You know, praise and thanksgiving, you know, and faith, all right? You know, you don't walk around down in the mouth and have faith. You understand that? You know, I got hope for nothing. Right? You know, oh, but I believe God. No, you don't. You're just speaking rhetoric. Come out of that negative spirit, that hopeless, despairing attitude. Let it go in the name of Jesus. Let it go. Let the changing power of God. You know, there's some people that they almost lose their personality if they're not negative, right? If they're not complaining about something all of the time, they don't know what to do with themselves. And God may have to do an overhaul, okay? He may have to do an overhaul because you've gotten so used to complaining or bellyaching or being negative or being hopeless and having despair and nothing's ever good, everything is always bad. What do you expect from God? What are you expecting him to do with you? Okay? You've got to be like the children of Israel, right? They had to cross the Jordan. They had to cross that Jordan. And when they crossed that Jordan, the first thing they ran into is they ran into that great city, Jericho, that was shut up tighter than a drum. There was no overcoming that. They couldn't overcome that. But God could. Here we are. Now this is in Romans chapter 12. Look with me at verse 2. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove, look at this, what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. Okay, now I want you to go over to Romans chapter 6. Come over here to Romans chapter 6. I want you to see something, all right? Hey, we must take action. We must take action. You know, we cry out to the Lord with all of our heart. You know, cry out to the Lord with all of your heart. You know, let him do that overhaul. Let him do that overhaul. Let that be released in the name of Jesus right now to the beloved of the Lord. Let the working of the power of the Holy Spirit in an overhaul. It's on you now in Jesus' name. Here we go. Now look at this. It's in Romans in chapter 6. I'll have to give more time to it at another point in time. But I want you to look here at verse 10. It says, for the death that he died, that says Jesus, he died to sin once for all. But the life that he lives to God. And the reason he's saying that, this is what Jesus accomplished. And not only is it for him, it is for all those that believe upon him that we die to sin. That we do not have to be captive to sin. We do not have to be slaves anymore to the flesh or to the way of the flesh. We do not have to live as victims anymore. That we've been set free in the Lord Jesus Christ. And not only are we free, but now we have obtained as an inheritance the life of God. Now, he goes on and explains that. Let me read on, verse 11. Even so, consider yourselves to be dead to sin. Do you see that? Do you see that? Dead to sin. Look here. But alive to God in Christ Jesus. Before I knew better. You know, I'm going to tell you, God will always answer your prayers. He will. And you want him to explain something to you. You don't understand. You just keep crying out to God. And you'll think that God's not telling me nothing. He's not telling me nothing. Oh, yeah, he will. But I don't know when he'll tell you. He'll bring you to the place to where he can tell you so that you can hear it. Are you with me? So that you can hear it. I used to cry out to God. I used to get frustrated with the Lord, all right? I know I'm the only one here that ever been frustrated with God. But anyway, but I got frustrated with God. Okay, consider. Lord, how in the world do you consider? You know, consider. You're telling me to consider, all right? Okay, how do I consider? No. That's a faith action. It's a faith action. You're considering yourself dead to sin. You understand what that means? That means by faith you're taking on the death of the Lord Jesus Christ so that the life of Jesus can rule and reign within you. Okay? Dead. Dead. No, you don't have to be like that. No, you don't. No, you don't have to be dogged like that. No, you don't. I don't care how long you've been like that. You don't have to be like that anymore. No, you don't. But see, you understand, you start confessing this, you start believing upon it. This is called promise. This is promise. This is the promise that the death of Jesus being acted, that's mortification to your fleshly desires. Mortification by the power of the Holy Spirit. Here he comes, and he mortifies. Lord, I can't control it. Lord, I can't control it. I don't know what to do. I can't control it. You don't have to control it. Oh, hallelujah. I'm believing God for the life of God and also the death that he died to sin. Sin will not reign in your mortal bodies. Did you hear that? Hold on. You got your Bibles out? Because I don't want you to say, well, the preacher said. I don't want you to think of it as what I said. I want you to see what your Bible says. Now look here. Look with me here. Here we are. Verse 11. Even so, consider yourselves to be dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. Now, look at the statement in verse 12. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body. Did you see that? That you should obey its lust. I'm going to read it another time. It needs to be read again. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body, that you should obey its lust. If it's of the flesh, then it's not of God. If it's of the flesh, then it's not of God. And Jesus crucified it on the cross. He crucified that thing. Whatever you're wrestling with, whatever you're dealing with, I'm telling you now that Jesus crucified it on the cross so that you do not have to let that thing reign in your mortal body no more. No more. But now the way this is obtained is to consider. Consider yourselves. You are aligning yourself with Jesus by faith. Are you with me there? That's what you're doing. Well, look here. Now, let me give this to you. I'll stop right here. Verse 13 says, and do not go on, look here, this is very important, and do not go on presenting the members of your body to sin as instruments of unrighteousness. Stop. But present yourselves to God as those, look here, alive from the dead. And your members, that's your body, the members of your body, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. It can't get any plainer, can it? It can't get any plainer. But you and I don't obtain that by my own power or my own might. Now, let me just give you this, that word present, because that's where the key is present, is parstemi, P-A-R-I-S-T-E, accent on that, E-M-I, parstemi. It means, listen, it means to present, it means to come, or to come to, and it means to put at my disposal, and it means to provide. You are welcoming, you are inviting the cross into your life. That's what you're doing. What you, Jesus, did for me, I'm inviting into my life. I am standing steadfast in faith for it. I said, this was a spirit of praise upon us today. It was a spirit of praise. I want you to start doing something. So when you start praising God in the midst of your problems, in the midst of your conflict, I want you to do something. If you're wrestling with something, and then after you're wrestling with it, the devil's got a stronghold on you. Because every time you do whatever that is, or you are whatever that is, and you realize, then the next thing that happens to you is just a boatload of condemnation comes on you. Okay? All right. That's a stronghold. That's a stronghold. The enemy is afflicting you because he's got you. Yeah. Where's your faith going to operate now? Well, in the midst of that condemnation. Are you with me there? Are you with me there? All right. So, you know, when you got that condemnation, you're going to stand in faith? No, you're not. No, you're going to cower down under it. You're going to be depressed for the next 3 to 4 to 5 days until you kind of get over it a little bit. And then you start kind of getting back on your feet spiritually, that type of thing, until the next time it happens to you. And you just keep riding the roller coaster. Sounds like some of you are familiar with it. I know I am. You got to change your attitude. You got to change your attitude. You got to quit giving yourself excuses. And you just got to start considering. And I want you to do something. The next time that affliction, whatever it is, whatever happens to you, I want you to start praising God. Are you hearing me? Are you hearing me? Next time you lose your temper, you repent and you start praising God. The victory is mine in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Oh, you're not going to be there much longer in Jesus' name. You're not going to be there much longer. Oh, I bless the Lord. I bless the Lord. I give praise and glory to God. And the devil's going to scream in your ear, what? You can't do that. You can't do that. You can't act like that. Oh, hey, no, you can't do that. You better stop it. Because he wants you to take back on that down in the mouth. Or you've become so numb to walking in the flesh, you don't even see your sin. You've been made to walk after the Spirit, and Jesus has given you the victory. Quit giving excuses for your behavior. Stop. Your soul could be weighing in the balance. I'm telling you right now, I'm not trying to make you fearful, but you better know it. You better know it. Are you moving on into Kadesh Barnea? Are you moving on into Kadesh Barnea? Are you going to go with those that fell in the wilderness and never entered into it and they perished? There's a lot of people that are wandering around spiritually that will not enter in. They will not take hold of the eternal life that has really been given them, the salvation of Almighty God and the holiness that belongs to them, and the position and the place of being saints of God, saints of God. I want you to start praising God, okay? And along with that is you're giving thanksgiving to the Lord. Right in the middle of failing, I'm telling you, right in the middle of failing, I'm going to tell you something, that hold on you is going to be broken, and it will go. Would you all come up? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm going to ask you to do something. I want you to take those scriptures and I want you to meditate to let go. You're afraid to let go. Okay? And giving your whole heart to Jesus. You're afraid of living for the Lord. You're afraid of living for the Lord. And it's created a hesitation in your heart. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. That's a lie out of the pit of hell. He's trying to stop you because there's no reason to fear. There's no reason to fear. Don't be afraid to step out with your whole heart and make the decision that I'm going to live for the Lord. That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to live for the Lord. That's the end of that. No more of this dilly-dallying around. You know, none of the, no more of this shifting back and forth. no more in my heart. Oh, no, I'm going to live for the Lord. I'm going to live for the Lord. You make that decision today, and do not let the evil one cheat you any longer, and no longer be afraid. No longer be afraid. Okay? I'm going to pray that prayer in just a minute, but this is a day of victory. This is a day of victory. Okay? Where do you need victory? This salvation, this preserving, this deliverance, this power of the person of Jesus by the Holy Spirit is invading your whole being. He's wanting to invade your whole being. He will invade your whole being. It's what it means to go forward in the Lord. Where do you need to see the power of God? God's not looking for you to straighten things up. He'll straighten it up. Just let him do it. Just let him do it. Well, I can't change. I can't change. I can't change. I can't change. You don't have to. You don't have to. He will change you. He will change you. Don't let that, it's the power of God. It's the power of God. How? Simply believing, right? I'm going to pray for that one or ones or whoever. Maybe it's a matter of going forward. Maybe it's a matter of that, you know, I'm afraid to go forward. I'm afraid of what's going to cost me. I'm afraid of what the Lord will want from me. I'm afraid of what he want me to give up. You know, these are fiery darts of hell against you. That's what they are, okay? Because the Lord's not going to do anything to you but be good. I'm telling you right now, he's not going to do anything. Father, in the name of Jesus right now, Lord God, that every barrier and every stronghold, Father, that Lord that speaks to the heart, that Father God, every lie, every fiery dart, Lord, let it be brought down now in the name of Jesus. And Lord God, let even the power of God come to that one or ones or whatever it would be. Lord God, Lord, that afraid to fully live for the Lord. Lord, right now, I just want to thank you for bringing down that fear. Bring down that hesitation in the name of Jesus. Bring down, Lord God, every barrier and every obstacle in the name of Jesus. Would everybody say with me, Lord Jesus, today I give you my whole heart. I choose today, I will live for Jesus. Take me by the hand and make me, Lord, into everything that you want me to be in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Would you all come? Thank you.
God, that they may come to know you. Thank you, Father. We give you praise, Lord. Thank you, King of Glory. And everyone said,
amen. All right, Kathy, would you all come? Praise his holy name. Glory to the Lord. Let's just... That's broken off of you in the name of Jesus. You know, I wasn't supposed to be... They induced labor in the seventh month. My mother had uremic poisoning. They were trying to save her. That was their point, was to save her. This was in the 50s. I weighed 4 pounds. I weighed 4 pounds.